This week we'll be celebrating the Pentecost Conference. It is a season where God poured out His Spirit on some flesh. No, the Bible says He has poured out His Spirit on all flesh. So if you have flesh on you, it means the anointing can touch you. The anointing can change you. It can turn you from an ugly person to a beautiful person. He can make you the first person in your family to rise up. It is the Holy Spirit. And that is why the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It is by His Spirit. And what are we doing this weekend? What am I doing this morning? I'm making you hungry for more of His presence. That when we get you tonight, that we don't need to press in. That His glory will be here and your hearts will be aligned to His presence. That when you come into this building tonight, that His presence will be saturated. Pentecost is not a religious thing. Yes, the day of Pentecost in the Bible was. But what happened with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there was chaos. People thought they were drunk of wine because of the Holy Spirit. Because everyone must maybe depressed. But the moment that anointing touched them, imagine the glory of God coming on them. Their faces changed. Maybe they felt depressed. But the moment the anointing touched them, they had joy. That people even thought that they were drunk. People that was hiding because of the fear of the Jews. The moment that the anointing touches them, their lives were never the same again. The day of Pentecost was when the Holy Spirit came upon all flesh, normal people. And God anointed normal people for extraordinary things. God has taken the people that people look down to and lifted their minds. And listen, I'm going to use this and this person, not because they are great, but because of my anointing. How many of you want the anointing of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is your helper. If you understand the partnership that you have with the Holy Spirit, you will not fear starting your business. You will not fear doing anything because He is your partner. And sometimes we in our flesh, we put all our faith in someone that we can see, not knowing that the one that created this universe is your partner in your business, is the partner in your relationship, is the same one that helps you to train up your children in God's ways. It is time that you take His hands and say, God, do what you do best. I surrender my life to you. I don't know what you're going to do, but I trust you. How many of you can feel the presence of God here this morning? His presence is tangible. This conference, do not put a limit on God. Do not put a box around God. He can do anything. Even if He has to come with lightning and split this pulpit over. Let God be God this conference. I want you not to have in your mind, we're going to do 2 praise songs, 3 worship songs, then we're going to lay hands on the field. No, I want you to come in this place and say, God, I want to see you. I want to see revival to come here. As you have prophesied, let your revival come. We don't just want to talk Christianity. We want to see our God. For too long, we are talking. And the world and the devil is flourishing, but Christians are trembling. It is time that we say, God, we test you now in your word. Where 2 or 3 are gathered your name, you are in the midst of them. That means it's not just these normal presence, because God is omnipresence, as you all know. That means that when we are with Him, 2 or 3 are gathered in His name. It means there must be a manifestation. It does not say, wait for me or prophet or prophetess to lay hands on you. It says, if God is there, He will manifest Himself. You need to be hungry for more of God. You cannot put God in a box on someone's hands. The glory realm is more real than anything else. Like prophet always would say, it's not something we can teach you. It is something you need to catch. It is something you need to desire. Like this morning, I didn't plan to have an encounter with God. I think I'm struggling to speak because I want to cry. You cannot plan when God wants to touch you. But you must be prepared. God, I'm not going to miss Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Even if we have to extend, God, I will not miss a message. I want more of you. that when you come into this place that you'll feel His presence already. Are you with me? You're welcome to have your seats. I can see nothing through that thing. God is good. This morning I just want to thank prophet and prophetess for the opportunity to be able to preach on their pulpit. They are not someone that's just going to allow anyone to preach on their pulpit because they care for you. Yes, there's other people that has maybe much bigger names than me, but they use people that they have relationship with, that use people that they can entrust with their people. Prophet's number one and prophetess number one job is to look after you and protect you as the sheep of God. And that is what they are doing. That is why they are paying the price and the high price that they are paying for you to be here this morning. Are you with me? Just check for me the sound. It sounds, I don't know, this one sounds like I hear myself twice. Yeah. How many of you know that we, oh, that's better. How many of you know that we live in the last of the last days? How many of you felt the earthquake this morning? It is the last of the last days. And the Bible says, on the last day, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That means God is ready to touch you. But you have to be willing for Him to touch you. I want to welcome those who are online. I know we are from everywhere. USA, Europe, other countries, India, New Zealand, South Sudan, Mauritius, Australia, and many other people. Cape Town, I don't know why you're on live. Our service is finished. That's fine. I don't know. Sorry? But you're welcome online. If you are close to Krugersdorp, or even if you're far, if you live in South Africa, if you have a visa to come to South Africa, get on a ticket and come to the place. Do not miss what God's going to do in this conference. You do not want to have an excuse, say, oh, I wish I could be there. And one day you read in books of what God is going to do in this conference. You're like, if I was just there. You have missed so many revivals in the old, all the God's generals. You do not want to miss one service. If you're not in Centurion, in Krugersdorp, get here. If you are even a Centurion, go tonight there and come here tomorrow. You do not want to miss what God's going to do. For His presence to be here this morning, so early, God is about to do something. He has an appointment with each one of you. And those that really can't come here, you're welcome to join us online. We have about 700 people online for the morning service. That is good. It means there's people that are hungry. Even in your rooms, you can experience the glory of God. There's no distance in the kingdom of God. But you need to let all the sound and all the noise just be silent. And you need to be focused on what God's going to do. I want everyone to write down today. Go and spend time with God. 5 minutes if you can. Write down. Ask God, what does He want? Put a demand on God. Don't just come here and say, oh, I'm just going to see what's going to happen in this conference. Come with a desire. The woman with the issue of blood, she had a desire before she went to Him. She didn't say, oh, let me just walk and break so many rules and then touch Him and maybe something will happen. No, she had a desire in her heart and said, listen, I'm putting a demand on Jesus that the moment I touch His clothes, if He knows, if He does not know, I will be made well. What desire are you placing on God this morning and for this conference? What is your expectation? Are you waiting for us to lay hands on you? Or are you, God, as soon as you move in this building, I will snatch you. I will not let you go until you bless me. Imagine Jacob. He wrestled with God. And we as Christians, oh no, I just need to be polite. No, wrestle with God. If something happens in my life that is not of God, I'll tell God, but this is not you. You said I will prosper. You said, test me now in this. God wants you to test Him. And that is why the Bible says, remind me of my promises. And sometimes we as Christians, because of religion, the way we got trained up, we think that it is a sin to ask God something that is not nice. If God promised you something, then ask Him, where is it? Remind Him of His promises. Obviously not out of pride, but out of a relationship. Everyone has a different dimension of relationship with God. With me, I can just speak straight. Because He knows my heart. There's no defiling in there. There's no dirt in there. There's no malicious in there. Are you with me? But the anointing on the day of Pentecost was poured out on those who were tired of their excuses, or those who were tired of their circumstances. They were waiting for a king to rule over them because they were tired of what was happening with them in the society that they were living. How many of you are tired of your situations at home? How many of you are tired of hearing how other people get blessed, but you are not blessed? How other people get healed, but you are not blessed? How other people see and encounter Jesus, but you never had an encounter? Because God's going to pour out His Spirit on those who are hungry for Him, who are tired of the excuses. Because sometimes we are so full of excuses. And this weekend, God is going to anoint everyone in this building. Every flesh will feel His presence. I want you to invite family, friends, anyone that needs a miracle or healing, whatever God that they need from God, bring them here. And don't say, if God can do it, tell them, my God is going to do it. You have to have faith in God. And I know prophet maybe is going to do the glory and all going deeper. I'm just laying the foundation here this morning for you. Are you with me? But why do you want the anointing? Why do you want the Pentecost experience? Many of us, we want the anointing for what? To look like a Christian celebrity? To cover your insecurities and your rejection? Why do we want the anointing? What is your motive with the anointing? What are you going to do the moment that God, the same power that raised Christ from dead, the moment that that comes on you, what are you going to do with it? Do you want it for goosebumps to have a good life? Why do you want the anointing? The anointing is not there to give you identity. Your identity is not found in your ability, your gifts, your anointing. Your identity is found in the Father, who is the Father. Your identity is found in Christ, not in your ability. And sometimes we follow people that we just see ability and we do not look at their character. And that's what I love about what God has done with Prophet Leon and Prophet Tess. Their identity is in Christ. Their character is in Christ. Yes, they are very anointed, but they are grounded in Christ. Are you with me? Some people just want to be a celebrity. I want us to go to Luke 4 verse 18, and I'm going to try to be fast. I know we're a bit late this morning. Luke 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and recover of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Every time in the Bible when someone experienced or received anointing, it was for a purpose. The anointing is not just for self. Your gifts is not for yourself. So if you are here and you say, God, I want more of your anointing, what are you going to do with that? If you look at the life of Jesus, He was pouring Himself out every single day. He was healing the sick. He was casting out demons. He was raising the dead. He was multiplying food. The anointing, the moment it comes on you, you can be the first one in your family that can rise. And it will not just affect you, it will affect everyone around you. Are you with me? Are you guys with me? Am I preaching for myself this morning? And Luke 9 verse 1 says, then He, this is Jesus now, called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal sicknesses. This weekend you're going to receive demon tormenting power. You're going to receive the anointing to break the yoke that the enemy has placed on you and your family. Every attack, every accusation that the enemy has placed against you, the moment the anointing touches you, and you understand what is your responsibility. Because the anointing comes on all, but it doesn't mean it affects our day-to-day life. Because with the anointing comes responsibility. With the anointing, it comes something that you have to do. God can give you grace to do something, but if you don't pick up yourself to go and do it, it will not happen. Are you with me? The Bible says that those who have turned the world upside down has come here too. These were normal people like you and I. They had fears like you and I. They had bad things like you and I. They had bad habits. They were so afraid of normal Jews, not even of soldiers. Of normal Jews, they were so afraid that the Bible says they hid from the Jews. Yet when the Holy Spirit came on them, there came such a boldness on them that these were the ones that turned the world upside down. Then the rulers said, listen, if you speak in this name again, I will kill you. But they did not worry, because when the anointing came on them, they became the anointed, and it was not their flesh that lived anymore, but Christ that lived in and dwelt through them. But it's, you're going to have to open your heart and say, God, not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. God, fill me, use me. Because sometimes you're waiting to who's going to be the next most anointed person in the church. Why are you not that one? Why do you wait for someone else to evangelize? Why don't you just go evangelize? Why do you wait for someone else to pray for the person in your family that are sick? Why don't you lay your hands on them? The Bible says that these signs will follow those who believe. How many of you believe in Jesus Christ? That means these signs is for you. You shall lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. But we do not have faith in what God says. So the anointing can come, but if you do not have faith in that anointing, it will have no effect on your life. Before you can receive new wine, your mind has to be transformed. For you to receive new wine, you have to receive new wine skins. So there's some patterns in your mind, strongholds that you have to let go and say, God, I'm starting afresh with you. God can anoint you this conference for business, for ministry, for whatever you need to do. Maybe you want to be a better mother, better father, better husband. God can anoint you and give you the ability to live a godly life, that there will not be any attacks over you. Are you with me? The anointing is activated through confidence. Many people are anointed, but they do not have confidence. The anointing gets activated when you have confidence. So the anointing gets activated the moment you have faith. The moment you have more faith in what God says than what your circumstances say, or your own ability. Are you with me? There are two definitions of faith I want to give you this morning. Faith is the absolute confidence in God and in the integrity of His Word. Faith is the absolute confidence in God and the integrity of His Word. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12 says, New King James, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I persuaded that he is able to keep what he have committed unto that day. They were looking unto Jesus and understood the integrity of his word. The second definition is faith is the name given to the action that you take. Faith is not hearing, faith is doing. It is the action that you take based on the conviction of who God is and the integrity of His Word. Let me give you an example. Lloyd and Pastor Chris, just come here quickly and bring an envelope with. Let me show you the difference of someone that has the anointing and the faith and someone that just has the anointing. Who wants to be the one of faith? Okay. Okay, just one envelope. Give it to me. I'm the one. So I want to show you how God works. Because sometimes we as Christians, we make life way too difficult for us. Yeah, I am Jesus. Yes, two Christians. He is a Christian for 34 years. He is first time to church. And I'm saying, I have given you, speaking as if from God, I have given you a great purpose. You're going to shake the world. And I'm preaching to both of them because the word of God is for everyone. You shall lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. You shall cast out demons. Nothing will touch you. Whatever you put your feet, I have given it to you. And here you get the person. He's anointed for 34 years. He's in church for 34 years. God has prophesied over him. He's like, has a bookshelf full of prophecies. Yet, I will say, here's the answer. And he will go, let me just go to my inner room. Let me just go and do this quickly. Let me just go read this scripture. Then you get someone that is just born again. They do not have religion or tradition. And I say, this is what I have for you. What will you do? Take it. Then he just takes it. You can be anointed, but if you do not take it by faith, it means nothing. And that is the difference between sometimes you get people that are just saved and you say, oh, but they're just new in Christianity. That is what they're doing. No, it's because they are too dumb to understand that they have to work for things. Because they take the word of God as a child. When I tell my child, here's a sweet, they're not going to ask me, oh, I didn't have breakfast. No, my child's going to say, I want, give me more. We have to be like children. And when God says, I'm giving you this, then you say, I take it, but I'm going to run with it, and I'm going to increase it and make it more. Are you with me? That is the difference between someone that has faith and someone that does not have faith. That's the only difference between you and I. You maybe know your Bible better than me, but I know my God better. I know that when He says something, I can do it. That is why I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are you with me? But there's two attributes I want to give you this morning for you to have biblical kind of faith. Because many people think they have faith, but they only have a belief system. This morning I want to teach you about faith, because we're going to go from faith to anointing to the glory in this conference. You need to be hungry, but you cannot have the latter if you're not faithful with the former. If you do not understand the word of God, you will not be able. We can preach, you can jump up, you can have the presence, but if you do not have revelation and understand it and have faith in it, it will not change your life. So number one attribute that you need to understand to be able to have biblical kind of faith is God's integrity. You need to know the integrity of God, that when He says something, He means it. I want you to go to Numbers 23 verse 19. I know I'm speaking fast, but it's just because of time. I want you to rest, that you can come tonight hungry for more of God. The Bible says that God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said and He will not do? Or has He spoken and He will not make it good? That is the integrity that God has. What is a lie? I think we as people, we don't understand what a lie is. A lie is something that you say, but you do not have the integrity and the ability to make it happen. Sometimes you think when someone says something that is not true, it is a lie. That is a lie. Because God, how many of you know that God cannot lie? So when God says something that's not true, it's not a lie. Because He has the ability to make it happen. And that is why the Bible says that God speaks to things that are not as if they are. So He's saying, you are seeing a sickness, but God says, listen, what I see is not a sickness. I see life. I see provision. When you see poverty, He sees provision. Does God lie? No. It's just when He speaks that He has the integrity to whatever He says. He has the ability and the power to make it happen. That is when the Bible says God cannot lie. Sometimes He will tell you, listen, you will speak in front of millions. Like when I was a kid, I couldn't even speak in front of my class. Yet, God told me, you're going to preach in front of thousands. I was like, that can be a lie. It is a lie because I did not understand His integrity and His ability, not by my own power, but by His Holy Spirit. There's many people here and online that God wants to use, but you need the oil of the Holy Spirit and the faith in God and what He has said to be able to make it happen. Believe me, I don't always have the confidence, but I have faith in Him. I don't lean on my own understanding or my own ability, or else I would not be standing here. It is through having faith in what He has said. Are you with me? We need to find a way to indoctrinate ourselves to have faith in God. Yes, indoctrination is not a wrong thing. Indoctrinate yourself not to have disbelief. To have faith, whenever something comes, you say, but my God. But God says this. I don't see it now, but God cannot lie. So when God said something is going to happen in my life, I know that it's going to happen, because His integrity is not questionable. Are you with me? Biblical faith is based on this thing. Is having the integrity in God's word. The second thing that you need to understand to have biblical faith is to understand the ability that God has. So firstly is His integrity, and second function is His ability. You can have someone, Pastor Chris, that can come and say, I want to give you R1 million. And they mean it with all their heart, and they have the integrity. They will go and work their butts off to give it to you. But if they do not have the ability to make R1 million, it means nothing. And that is why many of us, we promise our children stuff because that is what we want to give them. But we do not have the ability to give it to them. Where our Heavenly Father is not like that, is when He tells you, I'm going to give you something, He has the ability to give it to you that you can flourish in all things. But you need to have faith in God and understand who He is. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, now to Him who is able, God is able, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us through the Holy Spirit that He has given you. So the moment you receive the Holy Spirit, the power is already in you to do what you want to do. But you need to activate that anointing through your faith. And that is why in the Bible's time, you see people get healed and people get miracles. And there was always an instruction. Go and wash your eyes there, blind man. Take up your bed and walk. Imagine they sat, they said, oh, I didn't feel anything. What would have happened? The anointing can be there to heal and change your life, but you're going to have to say, amen. I have to jump up sometimes to receive something. Sometimes I don't need to care what people think about me. You have to take a step of faith. That is why you get those who are, you get guys that are able to advise, but they do not have the ability. That is why you get a lot of financial advisors. If they were rich, they will not give you the secrets. They're advisors because they can give you advice, but they don't have the ability to do themselves. And if you're a financial advisor, God bless you. Be faithful and God can elevate you as well. But that is why you get a lot of people that become lecturers. Because they don't have the guts to go work with the electricity, maybe. But God has the integrity and He has the ability. If God has said He will do something, He will fulfill it. That is the God, for you need to know this for you to be able to walk in faith. Imagine Jesus said that all of you can heal the sick, but not 10% of you are doing it. It's because you do not have faith in what He has said to you. You do not have faith that you can do it because you think you're not good enough. Because you think that you can do and use the anointing out of your own ability. The anointing is His ability. It is not your ability. It is His strength that comes on a mere man. And He makes a mere man to do supernatural things. He takes an ordinary person and makes you a superman. And there is a scripture that says you can think, be a celebrity Christian as well. I'll give it to you now. Matthew 28 verse 18, and it says, Matthew 28 verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power in heaven, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Say with me, all power. Power to heal, power to prosper, power to restore, power to bring speed, power to take me out of my pit. All power has been given to Jesus. Yet for you to live is for Christ to live. That means all power is already dwelling inside of you, but you need to activate that power through faith. You get some people that will come to me and say, God has told them they have the gift of healing. Can you just pray for me, Pastor? I'm like, you want to tell me Jesus told you that you have the gift of healing and you want me as a human being to pray for you that you can activate it? I'm like, are you delusional? Yes, if Jesus come to me and tell me something, I don't need any man to tell me anything. But let me just say that for those Jezebels, but I submit every word that Jesus speaks to me to my spiritual father. Just want to bring that in context that you don't think your voice, Jesus' voice is above your spiritual father. No, God has put people in your lives that you can have counsel with, that will look after and protect your soul. Submission is power under control. That is what it is. And submission is not something is when you agree. Submission only begins the moment you disagree. If prophet or someone says something you do not agree, that is first when you submit. If you agree with everything they have ever said, you have not submitted yet. Just relax. You think you submitted. Submission begins when agreement ends. Or else you're just a fanboy. Ephesians 1 verse 16. I want us to go to Ephesians 1 verse 16. I want us to be real. For God to pour out His Spirit, we have to be real. We cannot put a pretense and fakeness and mask on. I do not come with persuasive words, but I come with power and demonstration of it. And the Bible says, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation of the knowledge in Him. We need to have the knowledge and revelation. What is the integrity and the ability of God? Or else we were not able to walk in it and receive it. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is hope of His calling. What are the riches of His glory, inheritance in the saints. You need to know what He has said before you can receive it. And your eyes has to be open because many people hear it, but they don't see it. When Prophet Leon prophesies over someone else and you say, I wish that word was for me. Do you know in the realm of the spirits? Let me say this. In the fourth dimension, and that is where our spirits live. In the fourth dimension, there is not a word that says, he, she, I, us. No. In the fourth dimension, when you speak, it affects everyone that you hear. That is why the Bible says, bless those who curse you. Because if you curse them, you curse yourself. So when Prophet Leon prophesies, It means everyone in this building that is open and as a receptive can receive that prophetic word. Are you with me? That was for free. Pastor Chris can take an offering for that later. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? So if you do not believe, there is no exceeding greatness power. You have to believe in the riches that he has promised for you to be able to walk in it. So firstly, you have to see his promises, and then you have to believe in it, and then you have to do something about it. You have to. Faith is not hearing of the word. It is doing what the word has said. I'm teaching about faith this morning. Are you with me? Think of Joseph. He was in a pit. He was in prison. Let's say he was in prison, accused by Potiphar's wife. Then God will give him a dream for someone to interpret that dream. Imagine this. God closed all the witches, all the sangomas, all the fortune tellers. He closed all their eyes, all their special power. He closed everything. That the anointing of Joseph can be revealed. Imagine 1 minute he's in prison, he's in bondage. You are maybe in prison and bondage. But 1 hour later, he was the prime minister of a country. That is what the anointing can do for you and I. God can make a suddenly over your life. Are you with me? His promises are highly conditional. People think you can just get what God says. No. And that is why you don't have what he says you can have. Because what God says is conditional. Because he must respect your will. He cannot force you. And he leaves the condition so that your obedience proves that you are in partnership with him. Your obedience does not add what he has said. Your obedience gives access so that what he has said will be made perfect in your life. There is always something that God will say that you must do as an expression of your faith. If you look at the Bible, like I said, everyone had something to do. Go and tell them what they've done. Jesus, take up your bed and walk. There's always something you have to do. Even though Jesus said he will heal you, he still said to you, listen, go and do this. Imagine, Jesus' saliva was on the guy's eye. Yet, he was not healed until he took a step of faith. Many of you receive prophetic words from God and you're waiting and you're sitting at home. But God, why did you say this? I'm not seeing this. Have you taken responsibility, taking a step of faith of what God has spoken over your life? Because God is waiting for you to take up your side of the contract. Say, God, I am in partnership with you. I now take a step of faith that I can do what you have said I can do. Are you with me? Obedience is the missing link between your prophetic word of God and the manifestation of it. Obedience is the missing link between what God says and what you have. The just will live by? Not by what they believe. Faith is action. And most believers have not taken responsibility of faith. And that is when God speaks, there are parts that you have to play. You need to act when you get a prophetic word. When Prophet Leon prophesies to me, I act on it. That's why I want the new one, because I want a new challenge. Are you with me? That you have to respond. Every time God speaks to you, there are two things you need to do. I want you to write it down. Whenever you get a prophetic word, whenever God speaks to you in your room, whenever God speaks to you through his word, there are two things you as a Christian have to do. First, write down what he has said, but that's not part of the two. It's receive what he has said and see it as a reality. Don't always go and tell everyone your prophetic word when you received it. Go and make it real for yourself before you tell someone else. Because there is going to be naysayers that told you, ah, it is all phony. The prophecy is in the Bible is not for today. You have to make it reality to yourself. You have to see it for yourself that it is not fake. It is real. The word has to become one with you. Are you with me? The second thing you have to do is when you get a prophetic word is begin to pray for God. Not to do it. Because that's what we do. God tells you, you're going to be great. You're going to do this. And then, God, when are you going to use me now? When are you going to heal the sick? I'm walking every day around people. No, you're going to go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. You first have to go and lay your hands on a few people and it will not work. And then maybe it will work afterwards. And then you'll see great miracles. You will have to take a step of faith first. Are you with me? I know men of God that prayed for 500 people. Not one got healed. But they were keeping to the word of God because the word was a reality to them. And after that, every person they pray for get healed. Why? Because God has seen, listen, this person is not going to stop. He's irritating me. Like the woman in the Bible that irritated the judge. That is why I mustn't be online, because I speak a different way. I speak mere language. But the second thing you have to do is to begin to pray for God to show you the responsibility of that prophetic word that you have to do. Ask God to show you how much you make that prophetic word come from. How do you labor to make that come to fulfillment? Because sometimes we receive a word and we think it's just going to happen. No, you're going to have to labor. Faith is obedience. Faith is responsibility. Faith is not just saying what God has said. Faith is doing what God has said. It is not saying what many people quote the scripture, but they're not doing the scriptures. Show me a man that walks in the grace of God, and I'll show you someone that's diligent in all things. Diligent in prayer, diligent in the Bible, diligent in giving, diligent in just spending time with God and doing what God has said. I want to give you an example of someone that did not just receive, but they did something with it. We have more than 700 people online. Wow, that's awesome. God is good. I hope you guys are blessed at home, and that God will touch you as you are hungry for Him and as you have faith in what He will do. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. I want you to go there. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. Because even grace, sometimes you think we receive grace to sit and just do. No. Well, things are just going to happen because of the grace. The grace means you still have to do something. God can give me the grace to cast out demons, but if I don't open my mouth, nothing's going to happen. Sometimes we think God gives us grace or He gives us anointing and it's just going to happen. No, you have to work for that thing to come to fulfillment. God has to see that you are in partnership with Him. And it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So it's by the grace of God. It's nothing to do what I have to do. That's what we as Christians sometimes think. And His grace towards me was not in vain, but I labor, I work more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He had to labor for the grace to manifest in his life. But for him to do it, the Bible says, was not me, but the grace of God which worked in me. So he says he labored a lot. So God tells you a promise. Listen, you're gonna build this house. And God says, listen, I'm going to help you to build this house. And you're standing next to the ground. Say, oh, when is this foundation coming now? And that is what sometimes we as Christians do. We're waiting for God to do the first step. He says, no. Where's your shovel? Where have you started digging in? And when you do that, I will send angels, I will send other people to come help you. But the Bible says, but the grace of God which was with me. So it was the grace of God that did the work. So the moment he touched and was busy doing what God said, is the moment that the strength of God came upon him that he was able to do what he was called to do. It was not by his own power. It was by his own flesh. But it was through the power of the Holy Spirit. This phone means nothing, nothing if it does not have power. It is not even ornament, it's ugly. It means nothing. It's useless. And that is what we are sometimes as Christians, if we do not have the anointing in us and we take it up by faith. We are just talkers. You happy, happy, happy. Yet, everything is falling around us and we just say what we see. I want you to come in this conference with a hunger. Put a demand on Jesus and say, God, I want you to do something specific for me. Imagine this. I want to show you someone's faith. Someone came with faith. We also just read the Bible stories and we think, oh, it was by accident. No. Imagine the guy came to Jesus and said, listen, if you are willing, can you come and heal my servant? And the guy said, yes, yes, I knew you were going to say that. I'm just my own words now. But I didn't come in the faith that you have to come all the way to my house and lay hands on him. I came with the faith already. Just say a word and see, and it will be made well. He came with a different dimension of faith. Imagine, what dimension of faith are you coming to receive from God in this conference? Because God will answer you according to your desires, according to what you want. I have people that I've ministered to a while back. A person will be in a wheelchair and ask them, what do you want God to do for you? One person said they want a new wheelchair, literally. The other person said, no, they're struggling with depression. What do I pray for? For them to stand out of the wheelchair? No, I'm not going to expose myself. No, I pray for what their heart's desire. God will give you heart's desire. If your desire is just to get a new wheelchair, that's what you'll receive. What desire do you want from God? What story do you want God to change in your life? I don't care if your grandmother had the same sickness or they died all at 72 or 50, whatever. You shall not be that one, because you have a different revelation and faith of Jesus Christ and the anointing, the ability and integrity of His word. Are you with me? Acts 5 verse 12. And though the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of them, the rest, dared to join. But the people esteemed them highly. So you're allowed to esteem ministers highly. This is a scripture I said. We don't need to be the same as everyone else, because people esteem them highly. And believers were increasing, added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets. Imagine. This was Peter now, speaking about Peter, eh? So they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on the bed and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities. So if you are from the surrounding cities, you better be here. You better be here. Bring the sick. Bring those who need a miracle. If your family member died, put them in something and bring them here without people knowing. And the moment they touch the soil, they can be made healed. Are you with me? They can be raised again. And as the multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem to encounter Church Krugersdorp, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, they were all healed. Not some of them, all. Now imagine this. Peter first had to walk in faith. We think he just walked and people got healed. No. Peter had, when Jesus sent out the 12 to go heal the sick, he had to see, he saw Jesus, how Jesus did it. He had to take a step of faith and say, God, I'm going to receive the anointing that Jesus has given me, but now I'm going to take a step of faith and pray for them. And then he saw, wow, they got healed. People got delivered. And then he started walking in the anointing realm. Then demons were just cast out all around him. And then he went to a third dimension. But it's because of their faith that they have in Peter and the testimony of his life, that the glory was visible. He didn't tell them, listen, put them in a line and a compass. No, it was their faith connected to the anointing that was on his life that made the anointing to become the glory of God, and that he can just walk because of time. And then everyone got healed around him. Everyone got healed, the Bible says. Not some, everyone. But why? It is because he had to go from dimension, from faith to anointing to glory. Are you with me? Imagine this. The blind guy walked to Jesus. Jesus didn't say, oh, receive your sight. No. What do you desire for me to do for you? I'm like, Jesus? Sometimes when I read the Bible, it feels like it was sarcastic. Imagine I have to come to him like this. And he's asking me, Stefan, what do you want? I'm like, I'm blind. But Jesus was seeing, what did this man come to? Did he come with a desire and a hunger to be healed? Or did he just come because everyone was speaking of Jesus and he was the celebrity at that time? No, that he came because he wanted something that Jesus had. He didn't just want to be close to him. He wanted his life to be changed. Many of us, we want to be around prophet, but how many of us want to be changed? Peter, I know. Jesus, I know. Prophet, I know. Stephen, I know. But who are you? You have to build your relationship or your reputation from being faithful in the little. The Bible says you go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. We all want the extravagant, but have you been faithful in the little? Because if you have not been faithful with the little, God cannot entrust you with the more. That is why grace is always increasing. Are you with me? And it's because of the grace of God and the glory of God that the Bible says, wherever I put my feet, it is mine. Many Christians quote that scripture, but they do not have it, because that speaks about the glory of God. Are you with me? And God has given each one of us a measure of faith. Each one of us. If you are sitting here and say, but you don't have faith, the devil has lied to you, your mom-in-law, I don't know who. I don't have anything against my mom-in-law. Everyone thinks I do. I don't at all. It's just the worldly people understand when you say that. But everyone thinks you do not have faith. You have faith. Every single person. The Bible says in Romans 12 verse 3, and I'm almost done, because I want you to come hungry tonight. I think I'll finish with this scripture. I anyway skipped some. I don't know how I skipped something, because there's much more stories I wanted to give you. For I say, though the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Each one of you have received a measure of faith. Even Jesus himself, he didn't just start with the glory. We think sometimes, no, he was at the wedding. He didn't even want to do a miracle. And his mom said, listen, just do what he says. Just take a step of what he says. His first miracle happened through faith. Yes, it directly went into glory because there's no time in the glory. And people say water went into wine. Understand that. But they first had to take a step of faith. Do what he says. Not just hear what he says. Sometimes you want to hear a prophetic word, but we do not want to do it. And that is why it never works. And then Jesus, he will go out, he will cast out demons wherever he goes. He'll go and bring healings. And then there was a scripture, the Bible says, he put his feet on the island. And the moment he put his feet on the island, the glory of God was manifesting on him. That the principle, the strong man of that island started to manifest and his power became worth nothing. And that person could come to Jesus for help and the legions of demons could be cast out. Why? Because there was a greater heaven, a greater kingdom at that place. But he had to do faith first. Are you with me? How many of you want God to do something supernatural for you? How many of you are hungry for what God's going to do in this conference? We need to put a demand on Him. I want you now, this afternoon, to take a pen. Write down what God wants to do, what you want God to do for you. If you are online, get into your car, get into your plane. Do what you have to do. But be in this building. We'll make space. Don't worry. If you can be so hungry, don't break the roof, please. Pastor Chris and people that's going to fix it's not going to be happy. We'll let you come in afterwards. Don't worry. But for you just to be, imagine, Jesus was just touching the island because of the glory on him. And people were manifesting far from him. People that was bound by chains and he will break chains as if it's rope. No matter what circumstances you go through, when our God's ability is much stronger than any attack, anything mountain that you are facing, and his integrity is true. And the third thing, I didn't even write it down on this message, but the first reason why you can have faith in God, because the Bible says you who are evil can give your children good gifts. How much more your Heavenly Father? Abba Father, He loves you, He provides for you. He is a Father. So the three things for you to have biblical faith is you need to understand His integrity in His Word. You need to understand that He has the ability. He doesn't sit somewhere on a dunghill wondering if He can do anything. No. He doesn't go and pray to have the ability. He is the source of power. He is, whenever He is, there is power. He is a true. His integrity is right. His ability is right. And He's the Heavenly Father. If you are evil, want to give your children good things, how much more our Heavenly Father? He wants to give you not what you deserve. He wants to give you more than that. Because we do not always deserve good things. Sometimes we deserve to be in prison. But His grace endures forever. I want you this conference to come hungry. Say, God, I want to be the one cry. Break every wall. Just stand to your feet. Just say, I want you to pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, this conference, I pray that you will break every wall that's around my heart. Set me free. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let heaven manifest in me. And make me someone that will walk in faith. That wherever I go, your kingdom shall manifest and your will shall be done. I thank you that I'm good enough because you made me good enough. I thank you that I have the ability to do all things through Christ who has strengthened me because of your anointing. I thank you that you are not a respecter of man and that you are not a man that you should lie. That you have chosen me as a royal priesthood. You have chosen me to be your ambassador, to be carriers of your glory. That wherever I go, wherever I put my feet, you have given to me for your kingdom and for your glory. Praise Jesus. Give him a praise.